Alrighty, let's get started, everyone. Welcome. So nice to see everybody. Tonight's shiur should be, number one, a continued refuah shleima, schus for a continued refuah shleima for Rabbi Myers. And in addition, it should be a schus for an aliyas and neshama. My grandmother's yard site, my father's mother's yard site, was yesterday. Gittel Sasha bas Yaakov Tzvi HaKohen. It should be a schus for an aliyas neshama. One moment here. Okay. Perfect. Okay, so now, tonight's topic is the topic of Lechem Mishnah, something that we're all familiar with. Hopefully we'll cover a whole host of components and elements and halachos with regards to Lechem Mishnah. Again, feel free if things were not covered, if things were not clear at any point, feel free to unmute yourself, feel free to ask questions, feel free to put it in the chat, whatever it is, and we'll make sure periodically to stop and look at the chat. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, in Simon Rish Ayin Aleph. Again, that really was the Simon that was discussing a lot of Friday night with regards to Kiddush on Yayin on Friday night. And then there's a short halacha that pertains to Lechem Mishnah, seemingly. Tzarech shetie mapa al shulchan tachas hapas. There needs to be a tablecloth on the table underneath the bread. Umapa acheres prusa al gabav, and there needs to be another, a second cloth, not tablecloth necessarily, but some sort of challah cover, let's say a napkin even, on top of the challah. So that's the halacha. Now, this seems to be a pretty harmless halacha, but this is a very well-known halacha. Because the Torah, quotes to Yerushalmi, and this is all brought down in the Mishnah Berurah, it's all cited in the Mishnah Berurah, but it discusses the two primary reasons for covering the challah on Friday night, or in general. Anybody have any thoughts on that? We'll make this a little bit more interactive. Feel free.
I had always been taught it so the challah won't be jealous of the wine, having kiddush made on the wine, because usually challah is eaten. Bracha hamotzi is on everything.
Beautiful.
But we are making the bracha on the wine first.
Very good. So the Mishnah Berurah says, B'shema Yerushalmi, shelo yira hapas bashto, so that the bread wouldn't be embarrassed. She'ein mekanchin olav, ela al hayayin hu yesh lo din kedima b'sha'ari mekomos. Just like you pointed out, it has the din of kedima, which means it precedes, generally speaking, any other bracha, and for sure wine, and therefore really should get the bracha. And because there's some sort of embarrassment, whatever that means, right? We want to make sure we cover the bread, so to speak, it's not embarrassed. Anybody else have another reason to cover the challah?
Because of the man.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. So, aval letam acher shekosav hator shu zecher leman. We know the man fell, and it was covered on both sides. Munach kemo bekufsa tal lamala vital lamata. It had dew covering the top and the bottom. So he says, memela gam b'mekali shalapas tzarech l'chasos b'mapa v'chinogin. So we have to make sure that when we make Kiddush, it's going to be covered on both sides, just like the mun. And perhaps there's a third idea as well, that is really to show us that it's as if the challah isn't on the table until after Kiddush, to show that the food is there lekavod Shabbos. Right? Maybe you've seen people that they cover up all the food on the table, or anything special on the table that they cover up. I don't know if anybody have seen that. I feel like at camp sometimes they used to announce the cover up, not just the challah, but people were makbid to cover up, I don't know, whatever other side, I don't know, the fish was on the table, whatever it may have been. But to cover up everything, because dafka to show that what we're having on the table is specifically for Kavod Shabbos, that's more of like a third, more of an ancillary idea. But again, the two primary reasons are going to be, number one, it's Zecher Laman. Or really, number one, it's so that the challah isn't embarrassed. And number two is Zecher Laman. Now, Lamay Nafkamina, who cares what the reason is? Right? This is something my students often talk to me about. Like, who cares? Why does it make a difference? Lamaisa, you have to cover the challah. So who cares? Does it matter if it's in order to not embarrass the bread, or does it matter if it's Zecher Laman? So there are actually a couple of very cool nafkamina that actually help us understand that there is a pretty significant difference. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes three of them, and there are others given. But the first question is, the first nafkamina would be, what if you're making Kiddush on challah? We know that there is an idea to make Kiddush on challah if you don't have wine. Now, if that's the case, what are you going to do? Right? So if you say that it's Zecher Laman, well, it's still Zecher Laman, right? You have the Lechem Mishnah there, and you're going to cover it up. But if you say it's really only to ensure that the challah doesn't get embarrassed, Well, then the challah is not getting embarrassed because the bracha on the hagafen, on the wine, is not the bracha hagafen, birchas hagafen. The bracha on the wine is not coming before the challah. That's nafkamina number one mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah. Nafkamina number two is what other foods need to be covered, right? What other foods need to be covered on the table? He discusses, we know, zecher leman, if everything is zecher leman. Hold on 1 second. Let's read this inside. Excuse me. He says like this. I misspoke. When do you need to uncover the challah? Or when should one be uncovering the challah? That's what I meant to say. When should one be uncovering the challah? Right? If you say it's only in order to what? To ensure that the challah is not embarrassed. So then what? So then right after you make kiddush, so then you can uncover the challah. But if you assume that it's really Zecher Laman, and it's all din in Lechem Mishnah Zecher Laman, so then really you should only be uncovering the challah once you make Hamotzi, which is what the Lechem Mishnah on. So that's another idea. There's another idea as well mentioned in terms of, do you have to cover the challah at Shalash Shudas? Right? If it's Zecher Laman, and we know we have Lechem Mishnah, we'll talk more about Shalash Shudas in the future, but it could be that if it's Zecher Laman, you would have to cover it up. And if it's a din in Kiddush, so we don't make Kiddush. Most people don't, Chassidim make Kiddush at, I've seen Chassidim make Kiddush at Shalash Shudas. But most people don't make Kiddush at Shalash Shudas, and therefore you wouldn't have to cover up the man. They're more nafkamina, but we'll leave it at that. Again, it just shows us that there is a real difference in terms of whether or not you assume it's going to be Zecher Laman, or in order to not embarrass the wine. That's just point number one that I wanted to introduce. Fine. The question is, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah? That's what we're going to be speaking about. What does it mean? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Simen Kuf Samach Zayin. Kuf Samach Zayin is earlier on in Orach Chaim, and it's not with regards to Hilchos Shabbos. It's in the sugya of Bitzias HaPas. Bitzias HaPas, Beis Tzadi Ayin is the Shoresh, which means to break the bread, basically, right? To make Hamotzi. And there, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that by Shabbos, we need Lechem Mishnah. Now, how does it work? If everyone has their own role in front of them, or own roles in front of them, think at like a simcha. So the botzea, meaning the person making hamotzi, makes his bracha on his two chalos, and you, sitting at your table, sitting at your seat, can eat your challah even before the person who made hamotzi tasted his challah. The Mishnah Berurah explains that, or comments, I should say, that if people don't have their own lechem mishnah in front of them, and they're relying on the person who made hamotzi, so then number one, you have to eat from his challah, meaning if you don't have your own chalos in front of you, you have to make sure that you get a small piece of that big, simcha challah, whatever they have of these big simchas, and even if you're at like a relatively, larger meal, right, you have to make sure you're getting a piece of challah from the chalos that they made hamotzi on. And number two, you have to wait for that person to eat before you get to eat, right? So again, if you don't have your own chalos in front of you, you have to make sure you get a piece of challah from him, and you have to make sure he took a bite of the challah before you do. If you have your own challahs in front of you, so then you get his bracha of hamotzi on his lechem mishnah, and you kind of connect to that with your challahs. So again, what comes from this Mishnah Berurah is very important. It's teaching us that in order to be yotzei, our own individual chiv of lechem mishnah, there needs to be two loaves of bread, right? We'll call them two challahs, that the birchas hamotzi was set upon, right? In addition to the eating of the bread. Now, why is that? That might be obvious to a lot of us here, but why is it important to point out? Because this is different than the mitzvah of kiddush. Because kiddush, we all need to hear kiddush be made, but you don't necessarily need to taste anything. That's a big difference, because someone who has an alcohol intolerance, we'll call it, right? Someone who's allergic to alcohol, so they can hear Kiddush, and they don't necessarily need to partake in the Kiddush in order to fulfill their own personal chiyuv, right? That's not the case when it comes to Hamotzi. You actually have to partake in it, and you have to eat something as well, to chaparayin, to jump on, to latch on to the birchas Hamotzi. Now, the question is, how does a celiac, or someone who has a gluten intolerance or something like that, a gluten-free individual, how would they fulfill their own chiyuv of Lechem Mishnah if they're supposed to consume challah? That's the question a lot of people ask. So Shlomo Zalman, in his Sefer Shulchan Shlomo, suggests a workaround. There are others suggested, but Rav Shlomo Zalman, I think, is one that's accepted by many, which he basically says, and I know there are people on the call who are gluten-free, but if they have their own oat challah, right, if you have two challos, so then you can really probably make your own hamotzi and you're fine. Let's say you only have one challah roll, and you bring that to the table. So the person who's making hamotzi says hamotzi. Rav Shlomo Zalman says you should make your own hamotzi, make your own birchas hamotzi right after the balabas makes hamotzi. And he's saying it's like you're connected to the lechem mishnah that would count for lechem mishnah. So if you only have your one roll, it seems to be, because if you have your two rolls, so then it's not a shaila because you have lechem mishnah. It seems to be if you only have your one oat challah or an oat matzah or something like that. So as long as you make your hamotzi right after the balabas makes hamotzi, it's as if you're latching onto that. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says that would count for lechem mishnah. Now, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Ayin Dalid teaches us, and this is the siman that's it's called Dine Bitzias Apas B'Shabbos, right? So we spoke from Kuf Samach Zayin, general halachas of breaking bread, where he alludes to Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch that is, and then in Siman Reish Ayin Dalid, 274, he discusses Bitzias Apas breaking bread, making hamotzi on Shabbos itself. And he says the following. He's Botzeya al Shtei Kikaros Shalemos, that a person has to make hamotzi on two whole rolls. So First of all, well, I mean, we'll define shalim in just a second, but let's continue, I guess. She'ochi is shtehem biyado. You're holding both of them in your hand when you make the bracha. Ubotzeya hatachtona, and then you cut the bottom challah. Says the Rama, v'dafka b'leile Shabbos. That's only true for Friday night that we take the bottom challah. Avol biyom haShabbos or b'leile Yom Tov, whether it's Shabbos day or all meals on Yom Tov. Botseya al ha'elyona, you cut the top challah. Va'atamhu al derech ha'kabbalah. And the Rama says the reasons are more Kabbalistic. I'm not such a Kabbalist. We're not going to get so into that right now. But there's what to say there. Now, how do we define a shalim? That's the big question. Again, if you have children at your table, if you have nieces and nephews, if you have grandchildren, whatever, maybe even great-grandchildren. So just this past Shabbos, actually, you know, Maisa Shahaya, I had a challah and I had a matzah, and my son grabbed the matzah, and you know, he likes to, you know, break them, which one's the bigger half, you know, as many kids do. Although that might be the minhag by Passover, my son was very into that for Parshas Yisro. Broke the matzah, said, which one's the bigger half, you know? So what do you do in a situation like that? How does that work? What's considered a shalim? So the Rishonim discusses, the Rish says that a shalim literally means a whole. And what's a nafkamina? So I know when we go to Jewel, or maybe those who are on the East Coast, if you have the Zamek's challah rolls, sometimes you buy a package of six and they're connected, right? So the big question is, when you break them apart, is that going to still be considered a shalim? Right? Or maybe if you bake your own challahs and you ran out of the little loaf pans and you took an 8x8. I don't know if anybody does this ever. But again, you run out of the loaf pans and you have an 8x8 and you put two challahs right next to each other. You stick them in the oven, and then what happens? You have an 8x8 of challah, basically, right? It doesn't really look like two challahs anymore because they kind of they've been you know, connected to one another. Mechubar, we'll call it. So what's the deal there? So the Rish says no. It has to mamish be a whole, and he says a pack of six counts as a shalim as long as they're all connected. But once you break them up, they lose their shlemus. That's a pretty machmir approach. If you break up the rolls, they lose their status as a shalim, as a complete roll. The Rush disagrees, though. The Rush says that the loaf, as long as it's missing less than 1/48 of the dough that was used for baking the batch, it's still considered whole. So what does that mean? We're not measuring 1/48 of the pieces missing. But really what he's saying is if it's mostly whole, it's mostly whole. Whole means that there shouldn't be a chunk missing. Now, just parenthetically, or maybe not parenthetically, maybe I should have said this before, what's the inyan of having a shalim? What's the inyan of having a shalim? So the Mefarshim explain, I had this somewhere in my notes, I'll probably find it later, but they explain that a shalim is a din in chashivas. Right? For Kavod Shabbos, having a Shabbos meal, so we want to make sure the bread is whole because it looks much more nice to have a shalim. Fine, so we have these two opinions. And I know my father, I know people go crazy when it comes to having a shalim for matzah on Pesach. People go crazy. Is it chipped at all? Is it chipped at all? I remember my father from a younger age already, see my father say, yeah, it's mostly shalim. So I thought, you know, he didn't want to like look through all the boxes and find a perfectly shalim one. But it could be that he was really, you know, he already knew this rush, that if it's mostly whole, it's whole, and you don't have to drive yourself crazy. The Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, as we've quoted in the past, as the kind of the Bible almost for Hilchos Shabbos, so he writes that L'chachila, we should be makbid to have real shleimim, and you shouldn't disconnect the rolls or pull out a sticker or anything like that if you can. Again, if you don't have anything else besides like one package of rolls, so then it's not so pashut, but and you could probably break it off, but if ideally you can, refrain from breaking up rolls, so then that might be best. So then the question's like this. I remember a few weeks ago, months ago at this point, maybe it was in the summer, I don't remember, but I remember we had this 8x8 issue where we baked two challahs in an 8x8 and they connected to one another, and I wasn't sure if it's going to be considered a shalim or not. I remember speaking to Rabbi Liebtag, I called Rabbi Liebtag here, to discuss the shaila a little bit. So again, there are those who say, no, if they're baked like that and they came one, so it's mechubar, and you can't have them as two separate challos. But the Shmir Shabbos tells us if they were baked with the intention that they're two separate loaves, that they're two separate challos, so then you can and even should make hamotzi, but here's the chap, I thought this is very interesting, you should only separate them after you make the bracha. Meaning you have in mind that they're really two challos, you can make hamotzi on it and then separate it. And the reason you do so is that if you were to separate it before the bracha, you run the risk of ripping or tearing or a larger chunk coming off one of them, and then you lose your shalem factor. So he says, actually, make a bracha while they're still connected, viewing them as two separate challos. I thought that was a very interesting psak. And the big question, I think, I don't know, I haven't seen too many of these challos here, but maybe I'm looking the wrong bakeries, but what about a pull-apart challah? Right? What's the status of a pull-apart challah? Where you take, I think the way people make pull-apart challahs, and everyone here will correct me if/when I'm wrong, but I think you take like the balls of dough, basically, and you just stick them next to each other in like the circle pan, stick it in the oven, and voila, it looks beautiful, thumbs up, okay, great. I kind of know what I'm talking about. So what would you think about that, based on what we just learned? Feel free to jump in.
Those aren't meant to be it.
Oh, very good. So I agree with you completely. Right, once you're breaking it.
I buy ones in Israel in the bakery that I think it's eight like rolls, but they're put together, and even though each one has different toppings on them, but it's meant to be one challah.
Oh, cool.
A roll, not a ima break a sima.
Got it.
But it's not like when I from the bakery where it's six rolls in a bag. They're supposed to be individual, but they're stuck together,
connected a little bit
together.
Right, so I agree with you. I think the pull apart, the assumption is that like your kavana is that it's one, and I think based on that it would presumably be one, and you wouldn't be able to take one pull apart challah and have that for your lecha mishnah. The Mishnah Berurah does mention that if a challah gets a bit burnt and it's not going to be eaten, there are those who are machmir and says that shouldn't count as lecha mishnah. So if you have one burnt roll and one non-burnt roll, so people say that you shouldn't really be using that as your lecha mishnah. Some say it does count, some say it doesn't, because it's destined to be thrown out anyway. But, okay, fine. That's a little bit of a side discussion, not as relevant. Yes. Charlene, go for it.
So when I make a pull-apart challah, I make it with the intention that you pull it apart so that you can use it for multiple rolls. And when I bake challah, I bake it on a flat pan, and the challahs inevitably merge together to a little bit, so they're stuck together. And for me to even take them apart or to freeze them or to use them, I'd have to take them apart.
Right. So
at the time.
So I think Yeshal Milismoch, I think we have who to rely upon that if it was baked with the intention of being independent rolls, so then it would be okay. I think it's a little bit, maybe the difference is if they're being baked together in like that circle pan, a la the pull-apart challah, so then maybe it's a little bit more difficult to say that they're individual rolls, versus if you bake them on just like a larger baking sheet and they connect or whatever it may be, if your intention is that they're multiple loaves or multiple rolls, so that would be, I think, okay to view them as independent individual rolls.
Is it okay to take them apart before you make the bracha?
So that's a good question. I think the Shmir, if you're concerned that they're going to rip and things like that, I think the Shmir Shabbos would say it's much more ideal to make the hamotzi on two of them, and then rip them apart. And then, you know, assuming it's like a clean cut, so then you, if you want, you can freeze one. If you want, you can put the other one away, whatever the case may be. But I think he's just a little bit concerned that sometimes when you pull the two challos apart from one another, sometimes you rip off a piece and one might lose its shlemos.
Okay. thank you.
No problem. Okay, Dr. Brand.
So when you take a challah out of, let's say, a loaf pan, and a little piece sometimes rips off the edge.
Yeah.
So according to Shmir Shabbos, that would be okay?
I think so, yeah. I think if a little bit gets pulled off. The Rush, and for sure in the Rishonim, they would say that it's mostly whole, you know. And often the part that gets ripped off is like a tiny piece on the side or a little bit on the bottom. Meaning if it's, I would say, more or less insignificant, then I don't think, if it doesn't bother you, this is a non-rabbinic, what's it called, qualification. But if you look at it and you eyeball and say like, oh, that's not like such a big deal, that a little bit gets stuck to the bottom of the pan, it's probably a small enough piece to say it still maintains its shlemos. If it's bothering you that like a chunk stayed on the bottom of the pan, that's probably enough to say, you maybe I just lost the shlemos there.
Okay.
Although I would ask your husband before listening to me. okay, fine. Any other questions on Lechem Mishnah so far? Okay, so let's continue. The next thing I want to discuss is the discussion of only having one challah. This is probably more nogea to challah shudis, that people find themselves with only one challah. But at the same time, what happens if one of your challahs break? What do you do? Right? So my son takes the matzah, snaps it right in half, and now we have one challah and two pieces of matzah. So what exactly should we be doing in that situation? So do you lose it? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Kuf Samach Zayin, again earlier on in Orach Chaim, where he discusses Betzias Apas in general. So he says if you can hold the roll together, the loaf together, it's still considered whole. Meaning, if they're disconnected, it loses its shlemus. But sometimes you have, I'm not holding, I don't have a piece of challah in front of me, but just imagine a sefer as a challah for a second, as you can see on the Zoom. If it opened up a little bit, right, so you can still put your challah back together, so then it's fine. If, God forbid, it was ripped in half, so that loses its shlemus factor. Even that being said, the Aruch HaShulchan talks about taking like a, almost like a chopstick, imagine, and sticking it in the middle to join them together, and at ki'ilu, now it looks like one. So he says there, it maintains its chashivos because it looks like one shalem, and that might be okay as well. But again, for sure, if they're still connected, just broken, that would be okay. What happens, though, if you don't have lechem mishnah, right? What do you do if you only have one challah? What does one do in that situation? So the Aruch HaShulchan says something very interesting. He tells us that you can take two slices of bread. He says two slices of bread. He calls this the prut. Here, actually, I think I have it here. We can do a little share screen. Aruch HaShulchan. Here. So he says like this. Even though, can everybody see where I am?
Yeah.
Even though so generally speaking, you need something shalim when it comes to a mitzvah midaraisa. Kegon esrog, devadai eno molul chibur kezeh. Meaning, if you were to take two pieces of an esrog and connect them, that for sure wouldn't work. The chibur adam eno chibur, because a person connecting two things isn't halachically considered a chibur, as it says in a Mishnah in Olos, mikomakum lagabi lechem mishnah, with regards to lechem mishnah, the shalim eno mefurish batorah. There is no chiv midaraisa from the Torah to have a whole loaf. De gam prusa mikre lechem. In halacha, a prusa, which means a piece of bread, is also referred to as lechem. He says, mahani chibur zeh, avo im chaser mamish, af ma'at eno shalim. He says, if it's completely lacking, so then it's a problem. Then he says like this, in this paragraph, that's what we referenced a moment ago. He says, mihu, im eno shlemim klal, if you have no holes at all, meaning it's completely broken from one another. What you can do is you can take two pieces of bread, da'al kolpanim lechem mishnehu. Like we just said here, that a prusa, a piece of bread, a slice of bread, is referred to as lechem. So if you take two slices of bread, that can still be considered lechem mishnah, ela she'inu derech kavod. He says you lose out on the kavod, like we said. Lechem mishnah is about chashivos, it's about kavod, and giving honor to the meal that we have on Shabbos. And because of that, so you can take, you know, in a bidyevet situation, two slices of bread. Now, here's the question, though. If you only have one challah, and you don't have two challos, should you cut your challah in half to now have two prusas, two pieces of bread, and that would allow you to have lechem mishnah? That's the question people have based on this Aruch HaShulchan. So the Netziv writes the following. The Netziv Avolozhin says the following. I think this is a very, very cool pshat. And he says you have to differentiate between cases. Meaning, did you initially have two slices of bread? Or did you initially have a challah that you cut in half? Meaning, he says, if you start the meal and you don't have a whole challah, yet you have two slices of bread, before, again, you got to your chiv of lechem mishnah, so then you'd be able to take those two slices of bread and use them as your lechem mishnah. However, if you got to the meal, says the Netziv, and you realize you don't have lechem mishnah, you only have one challah roll, so you shouldn't cut it in half. You shouldn't cut it in half, because that's not viewed as lechem mishnah at that point. That's you taking a challah, cutting it in half, and having two pieces of one challah that was a shalim a moment ago, and it loses that status. It can't, says the Netziv, it can't be used to fulfill your chiv of lechem mishnah. So, the Minchas Yitzchak Dayan Weiss, who is one of the poskim in Eretz Yisrael, says something very cool. He says, so now, let's say like this, very often, right? I don't know what people do at home, right? Do you take out two challahs Erev Shabbos, even though you're only going to use one Friday night, and the other one defrosts overnight, and you use the Shabbos day, or do you take, you know, I don't know how people kind of operate. But, let's say like this. Let's say at the end of Shabbos lunch, you realize you only have one challah left for Shalosh Shudas. So, Dayan Weiss's chap, again, he says it's B'shas Ad Chak, if you don't have anything in your house for Lechem Mishnah, what you should do, because you're not by Shalosh Shudas yet, you can cut that challah in half. And he says if you cut that second challah in half, so now it's viewed as two pieces, right, two slices ki'ilu, and in 3-4 hours from now you get to Shalosh Shudas, you can now take those two pieces and use them as Lechem Mishnah. I thought that was a pretty cool chap based on the Netziv. And he also adds that B'shas Ad Chak, if you can't do that, you don't want to do that, you don't have another challah, you can take cake or crackers, because that's considered pasa ba b'kisnin, and that can count as your second bread. Okay, so just to summarize, if you only have one challah, it seems that it's better to cut it in half, if you have no slices of bread, of other bread, let's call it, but you can only be doing this if it's well in advance of the meal. And if you didn't cut it in advance of the meal, so then you should probably be using pasa ba b'kisnin, crackers, cake, something like that, as the second challah, the second loaf of bread for lechem mishnah. Fine. Any questions up until here? No. So we're going to keep on moving. Yeah? No? No. If you have a question, feel free to throw it in the chat. So here's something that I think is very, very relevant, and that is, are you allowed to use frozen challahs for lechem mishnah? Meaning, is it moksa? You can't eat it, right? Or let's say like this, if you can't eat it, it should be considered a moksa. Can you be using it as lechem mishnah? So the Tzitz Eliezer of Oldenburg, one of the great poskim of the past generation, so he paskins that frozen challah can be used as lechem mishnah. And he says this based on the fact that the Shulchan Aruch only says you have to cut into one of the challahs. Meaning, only one of your challahs has to be ready to be eaten. You need to have two challahs there, zecher leman. He says that's the ikr of lechem mishnah is based on the man. That two fell on Friday, so you have to have two challahs at your meal. But from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch only tells us you need to cut one of them, so he says the second one can be completely frozen and it's not a problem. What's one of his rayos? So I think this was this past Pesach, if I remember correctly. He says that if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to eat matzah on that Shabbos. But he says you can use a matzah as your second Lechem Mishnah, because it's about Zecher Lamon, it's about having Lechem Mishnah, and even if one of them is not quite edible, it's okay, and therefore having a frozen challah would be okay. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes in the Shmir Shabbos, he argues a little bit, and he says, no, if the bread is completely frozen, he says you can't call that food. You wouldn't take a bite into frozen challah. That's not considered food, and because it's not roi la'achila right now, it loses its status as lechem mishnah. However, he points out that if you're going to be having a long meal, so much so that your challah would actually defrost over the course of the meal and be ready to be eaten, so then he says it's okay. And that's not a problem. Right? So again, Tzitz Eliezer says frozen challah, totally okay. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, not so okay, unless you're going to be having a long meal. And the Shevet Alevi, Rav Osner, says it's not good, because he says they both need to be ready to be eaten right now, based on the Rishonim and the Poskim, who say you have to be able to cut into both the challahs. Because of that, Because of that, he says you cannot be using a frozen challah. So again, there are different opinions out there. I think if I'm not mistaken, I think we paskin lehakel. If you don't have two challos, I think people say that you're able to use a frozen challah for your second lechem mishnah b'shas adchak. Obviously, more ideal than a frozen challah. Maybe take a matzah, something like that. If you have another sort of lechem mishnah for your second roll, that would be ideal. Fine. Let's do a little bit more. And we'll save some, I think, for next week. Next week, Amir Hashem, we're going to be talking about general, I think the title for the shiur is like, what's on the menu, different food items for Shabbos. We'll talk about...
Should you take one roll and a slice of bread, or you should take two slices of bread?
If you have
one roll
and two slices Shabbos of bread. So it sounds like, from my understanding, it's probably better to have two slices of bread. And I think the Lechem Mishnah is more of a milah than a shalem.
Can't use one and one. Okay.
Correct. Now, again, you could pull the move where you cut the challah roll like in advance of the meal, but again, I think there is the greater mila of having lechem mishnah. I think I will double check that, but that's what I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Any other questions? I thought that there was another hand up. No. Okay. Fine. So.
Sorry, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Would it be better to use cake or to use frozen challah? Like if you have one or the other.
That's a good question. If you're asking me and I know nothing, I would say challah.
The reason I ask is because my husband is Sephardi, and so technically we don't make hamotzi on matzah.
Yeah.
So that's why I was wondering.
Oh, so that's interesting. Because your husband's Sephardi, that I feel bad. There's a tshuva of Rav Avadya Yosef on frozen challah that I didn't look up before this year. I saw it a while ago. I think he says it's okay, but don't quote me on that. I'm going to bleed another. I'll look that up then for sure to start with shir next week.
Thank you.
I don't know. Libi Omerli, it's probably better to use a frozen challah because it's actually a challah over a piece of pas babakistan, a piece of cake, or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I almost feel like a lot of times you could, you know, usually you remember at least a little bit before the meal, so you can take it out and it defrosts a little bit, and then you just,
cut the ends or whatever.
I was just curious.
Yeah, that's what I think. I don't know, that's what I would say, but again, I can't tell you with absolute certainty.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So, interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Simon Reish Ayin Dalid that... Mitzvah livtzoa b'Shabbos prusa gedola shetaspik lo l'kol hasu'uda. That it's a mitzvah to break off a large enough piece of challah that would last a person an entire meal. If my father was here, he would tell you a story. I've heard it from him numerous times that there was a family that he knew. They were balei tshuva and they became frum because they spent a Shabbos with someone. And he said he was amazed. This balei tshuva said he was amazed that the host handed out. My sister's telling me my father's listening in the background, but. The guest, who was an eventual Baal Tshuva, was amazed that the guy gave out such large pieces of challah. He was so generous and forthcoming with his pieces of challah. He was blown away. He said, wow, this family is so generous. Everything's a kavod Shabbos. It should be special. It should be nice. But it's and they became frum because of that. But that's a din in the Shulchan Aruch. Mitzvah letzov b'Shabbos prusa gedola shetaspik lo l'kol ha'se'uda. So the Mishnah Berurah tells us there, and again, this is something we spoke about in the past with regards to Kiddush, but the Mishnah Berurah says the following. He says, V'nochol ninhog shezeh shebotzeya yechavin liftor bebirchas hamotzi kol hamasubin. The one who's making hamotzi should have in mind to be motzi everybody else at the meal. We spoke about this by Kiddush as well. V'gam yomer lahamasubin, and he should also tell those eating at the table, sheyechavnu latzeis bebirchaso, that they should have in mind to be motzi with his bracha, kedei shekulam yetzu b'lechem mishnah, so that everybody fulfills their obligation of lechem mishnah. And now, this is something that we've probably heard all our lives, but if we didn't see this Mishnah Berurah, maybe we don't know where it comes from. Ukshemotzi achirim, and when a person who's making hamotzi is being motzi other people at the table, yomer birshus rabosai. Right? Many people say, I don't know, people say birshus, or birshus maranon, Birshus Rabosai, but there's this idea to say Birshus, then you're asking permission of everybody else at the table. I'm asking permission. Can I be motzi all of you here? Af al pishu balabayis o hagadol. Even if you're the balabas, right? If you run the show at the table, you don't necessarily need to ask permission for everybody. But the point is, you're not asking permission for can I start now? You're saying, do you allow me to be motzi you in your mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah? And says the Mishnah Berurah, v'hu mi derech hanava, and that's a derech hanava for a person to say birshus. Is it okay with everybody else? Fine. Let's just see if there's one more topic that we can discuss. Oh, okay. So we discussed this notion in Se'if Aleph that you're supposed to cut the bottom challah on Friday night. So the Aruch HaShulchan and others raise a question. The Bach as well, they note that there's a principle of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos. I actually just covered this this principle in my Gemara class in Ida Crown, where we spoke about Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, which I guess is relevant for this year, as to which month should one be laning Megillah in. So how can you say Adar Sheni if we have this principle of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos? That's a discussion in the Gemara. We're not going to get into that for now. But if you have two chalos in front of you, and you have a chala on top and a chala on bottom, so how can you go for the bottom chala if Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos? You're passing over that first chala to get to the second chala. That seems to be an issue. So there are a number of ways to answer this question. The Bach simply concludes, based on the principle of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos, that you should take the top chala. It's better to cut the top chala, and therefore you don't have an issue of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos. Most people don't do that based on the Shulchan Aruch. So how do we get around the question that the Bach raised? So the Taz says the following. He says you should make sure that the bottom challah protrudes a little bit. It should stick out. It should be a little bit closer to you. So now, even though one's on top of the other, one is closer to you, and you're actually going to be cutting the first challah that you encounter, we'll call it, right? And therefore, there's no issue of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos. That's answer number one. And answer number two, the Magen Avraham gives a very cool suggestion. The Magen Avraham suggests that you keep the challahs one on top of the other when you make Kiddush. Fine. When you make Hamotzi, you should stick your hands underneath the challah cover, take the top one, and then place it on the bottom. Meaning, there's no issue of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos because you're taking the top one. Elamai, you want to be mindful of this idea of cutting the bottom. Once you take the top one, you put it on the bottom, you make your bracha, and then you take that one that you're holding on the bottom, and you cut it for Hamotzi, and then he says there's no issue of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos. I thought that was an interesting chap as well. The Aruch HaShulchan kind of like brushes aside the question completely. He says, you have to understand the yesod or the principle of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos. Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos only applies if you have two separate mitzvos that you want to perform, and you're encountering one of them first, right? Or if you have two items, and you want to ultimately use both for a mitzvah, so then don't pass over one, right? Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos. But if you want to use one of them, right? There's no iser of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos, meaning the mitzvah ki'ilu was instituted in a way that you're supposed to be using the bottom one, right? Based, as the Rama said, on Kabbalistic sources. And he says, therefore, if you only want to cut the bottom challah, so there's no issue of passing over that top challah because you're going for the bottom one. So he gives a little bit of a principle in terms of understanding, or gives us background in terms of understanding Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos. But again, first of all, you can take the one that protrudes out, it's closer to you. That's not an issue. You encounter it first. Or you can take the one on top and put it on the bottom when you're making the bracha of Hamotzi, and that would be sufficient as well. I think next time, just because it's a little late, next time, Emir Tashem, first of all, we're going to answer Zahava's question, Bli Nether, with regards to frozen challah for Rav Avadja for Sfardim. And also we'll talk about distributing challah, and when should the person who's saying Hamotzi, when should he take a bite of his challah? Some people have the minog to cut up the entire challah and then take one. Some people have a minog to, right, or they have the custom, I should say, right when they cut, they take that very first piece. So that's a discussion. Bli Nether, we'll start with that for next week. But I think we'll wrap it up there. Any last questions before we conclude? Okay, awesome. Everybody have a fantastic rest of your week and a great Shabbos.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.